Hey, Glass Prop JC here. I'm excited about what we're getting ready to talk about. It's always dangerous for me to do these podcasts right after kind of a big game, you know, Sunday like we had yesterday as I'm recording this, because then I get on the next day and I listen to guys like Skip Bayless, and I find myself wanting to slam the desk and do all that stuff that he does. So anyway, I've got to calm it down here a little bit with what we're going to talk about. obviously, Super Bowl Sunday's coming up here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be exciting to see kind of who takes it. Probably going for the Chiefs on this one. But anyway, today we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about in chapter 2 of this book, and I want to just put this out there. Okay, I've said this multiple times, but I'm getting some emails about it. This is not a class where there's required reading every week. The books that I asked for you to download or to purchase or whatever it was are because those are the books that I'll be taking our podcast out of. And so I'll always mention to you the chapter. And then if you want to, and I recommend you get into the chapter and read it, because these books I'm recommending are solid gold. But you don't have to. That's up to you. But there is no required. You just have to listen to the podcast and answer the questions. That's it. Most of you are getting this, but that's just for anybody out there who still has a question about that. No required reading. Just listen to the podcast, answer the questions. Today is a really good one. It's on page 21 in our book here, The Road to Character by David Brooks. And I'm just going to read through this and then just kind of talk a little bit, and we'll get to our question. And probably today the questions are going to be found within the podcast, not just at the end. So make sure you listen carefully for that, okay? Today, commencement speakers tell graduates to follow their passion, to trust their feelings, to reflect, and find their purpose in life. The assumption behind these cliches is that when you are figuring out how to lead your life, the most important answers are found deep inside yourself. And when you're young and just setting out into adulthood, you should, by this way of thinking, sit down, take some time and discover yourself to define what is really important to you, what your priorities are, what arouses your deepest passions. You should ask certain questions, and the questions they say you should ask are, what is the purpose of my life? What do I want from life? What are the things I truly value that are not done just to please or impress the people around me? Now, by this way of thinking, life can be organized like a business plan. First, you take an inventory of your gifts and your passions. Then you set goals and come up with some metrics to organize your progress towards those goals. Then you map out a strategy to achieve your purpose, which will help you distinguish those things that move you toward your goals from those things that seem urgent but are really just distractions. If you define a realistic purpose early on and execute your strategy flexibly, you will wind up leading a purposeful life. You will have achieved self-determination of the sort captured in the oft quoted lines from William Ernest Henley's poem Invictus. And I love this quote right here. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Which, by the way, I just got to say, I love that. I love that line. I love that line. It fires me up every single time I hear it. This is the way, the book says, that people tend to organize their lives in our age of individual autonomy. It's a method that begins with the self and ends with the self, that begins with self-investigation and ends in self-fulfillment. This is a life determined by a series of individual choices, but Frances Perkins found her purpose in life using a different method, and this is someone he talks about here in the book. We're not going to talk about her today, but he talks about it. This is one of the important reasons why what he gets to here next is so important for us to listen to and so important for us to talk about. But Frances Perkins found her purpose in life using a different method, one that was more common in past eras. Okay, so we do things a little bit differently in 2024 than they did back in the early 1900s or late 1800s. You ask a different set of questions, and this is the first set of questions I just want you to think about right now, okay? Instead of asking, right, what we would ask up top, what's the purpose of my life? What do I want from life? What makes me happy? What do I truly value? What he's saying is that here are the questions that you ask. Instead of what do I want for my life, you ask a different set of questions. You ask, what does life want from me? Well, that's a mind shift right there. What are my circumstances calling me to do? So when I look around the life around me, when I look at the context around me, when I look at the opportunities, the lack of opportunities maybe for myself or for other people, I ask myself the question, what is all of this? And still obviously looking at my talents and what I bring to the table, I look at all of that and I say, what does life require? What does life want from me? And then, of course, we look at our circumstances and we say, well, what do these circumstances call me to do? Brooks goes on, in this scheme of things, we don't create our lives. We are summoned by life. Summoned by life. The most important answers are not found inside. They are found outside. This perspective begins not with the autonomous self, but with the concrete circumstances in which you happen to be embedded. This perspective begins with an awareness an awareness that the world existed long before you and will last long after you. And that's a really important factor as we think about our future and kind of where we're going in life. So often we tend to think that the world revolves around us. And if you live in San Diego, we tend to think that we're kind of the epicenter of the universe and we're the epicenter of the world. And you realize there's so much happening around the world. We are, and especially here in San Diego, which I always tell people is like a big, small city. You know, we're a small town. We just happen to be pretty big, right? We're a cluster of a lot of other smaller towns, La Mesa, El Cajon, Chula Vista, Eastlake, where I live. What is those places up in North County, Rancho Bernardo, Del Mar, right? All these places, we're just kind of a cluster of a bunch of small cities. And we kind of make up a big city with the small town mindset. But if we're not careful, we think that we're at the center of the world. And the reality is we're not even close to it. There's so much going on. I was watching something the other day and I was looking at these cities. And I forget whether it was, I think it was China. And they were showing some of the large cities there. And these are cities I've never even talked about, never heard of, never considered before. Millions of people live there. India, I think it's 1.3 billion people live in India, right? There's, you know, and I've traveled. I've had a pretty good life, but there are huge parts of the world that I've never even visited, never tapped into, never had conversations about. We are not even close to being the center of the world, but if we're not careful, we tend to think that, okay? And we have to understand the world has existed long before we got here. It's going to exist long after we leave. It reminds me of, I was on staff at this little church one time, and I was there for about 18 months, and this the secretary, who was an incredible woman, but boy, she was feisty, man. She didn't play. She didn't play with it, and she didn't respect it. I mean, she just didn't care about your title, whatever. She just didn't play. And I remember one day I said something to her, asked her something, and we started getting into it. And she said, "Look, I have been here long before you got here, and I will be here long after you leave." And so she was making the point, do not mess with me, or whatever it was we were talking. And I just had to stop and laugh at that one because that was right. And she was exactly right. She was there for several years after I left. She ended up passing away a few years back. But anyway, that's how we have to see the world. We're not here permanently, okay? And the book goes on, and that in the brief span of your life that you've been thrown by fate, by history, by chance, by evolution, or by God into a specific place with specific problems and needs. So we are lucky to have landed here. We are blessed. That might be another way to put it, right? Fate, by chance, or whatever you want to call it, okay, you and I are here. And that, boy, that wrecks me every time I think about it. I've been lucky to live a good life. I've had a hard life. I've had to climb out of poverty and all that kind of stuff from my early ages, and I've had to work hard, extremely hard. I've had setbacks and disappointments like you can't even imagine, but I'm at a place now where all of that has kind of paid off. And so I look around and I feel considerably lucky, and I'm sure that many of you do as well, the lives that you live compared to maybe other people that you know. But we've been placed here for a certain reason, right? And we're lucky. Your job is to figure out certain things. And here's what our job is to figure out. What does this environment need in order to be made whole? Okay, so that's a much different conversation than what makes me happy. It's this environment that I've been placed in. What does it need for it to be made whole? What is it that needs repair? What tasks are lying around waiting to be performed? As the novelist Frederick Bucher put it, At what point do my talents and deep gladness meet the world's deep need? Viktor Frankl described this sort of call in his famous 1946 book, Man's Search for Meaning. Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist in Vienna who was rounded up in 1942 by the Nazis and sent to a ghetto and then to a series of concentration camps. His wife, mother, and brother died in the camps. Frankl spent most of his time in camp laying tracks for railway lines. This was not the life he had planned for himself. This was not his passion or his dream. This is not what he would be doing if he were marching to the beat of his own drummer. But this was the life events had assigned to him. And it became clear to him that what sort of person he would wind up being depended on what sort of inner decisions he would make in response to his circumstances. He goes on to say this. Frankl says these words. It did not really matter what we expected from life, but rather what life expected from us. We needed to stop asking the meaning of life and instead think of ourselves as those who were being questioned by life daily and hourly. Frankl concluded that fate had put a moral task and an intellectual task before him. It had given him an assignment. His moral task was to suffer well, to be worthy of his sufferings. He could not control how much he suffered or whether or when he would end up in the gas chamber or corpse by the side of the road, but he could control his inner response to suffering. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. The book speaks for itself. That's why I think it's important that you read the chapters that we're reading. And again, this is found in chapter 2, and it's under the heading called Summoned. If you have the book, I recommend that you read it, page 21. But here's what I want you to do. I just want you to go back through the questions that were asked in this podcast. Now, I'm not going to give them to you again. Now, if you have them, you can find them on page 21 and 22 in the book. Okay. And you don't have to go back and re-listen to this. But I want you to think through those lens, and I just want you to answer those questions. You don't have to write big, deep paragraphs. If you don't want to, you can. Okay. If I were you, and what I'm actually going to do today, I'm going to join you on this one. I think I have a pretty big mission. I've looked through all of these questions, and I've done the exercise around, but it never hurts to go back and do it again. And so some of you may have a clear direction for your life. Great. That's awesome. Okay. Keep moving in that direction, but just do this as an exercise, and you can throw it out the window after you're done with this, but go back with these questions that he asked. Okay. And the questions start, if you have the book, they start on page 21 in paragraph 3. That's where the questions begin. It's not the questions we ask that we typically ask that, again, I'm not against. And if you take my classes and you've ever been with me, you know, I think it's important to take an inventory of ourselves. It is important to find out what makes us tick. It's important to figure out what our values are and our principles. All this is great. But what he's asking us to do is go a step further and ask these bigger questions that involve the life we live, that involve the context that we're in. And I want you to answer these questions as well. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I look forward to reading your responses. And I hope that these questions that he asked you, and there should be a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions, okay? 6 questions. That includes the question by novelist Frederick Buechner. I think I said that incorrect earlier. Frederick Buechner. So there should be a total of 6 questions that you answer. I want to make sure that's correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions. And you don't have to dive deep, but just do some reflection on this. That's the purpose of this class, okay? How do we live with integrity? Well, part of it is understanding who we are, right? What we're called to do. And then we live that. That's the whole reason for our service class. All right. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Prof. JC Leadership Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Take care.